Good evening. We'll open with the invocation. Heavenly Father, we ask for your guidance, your wisdom, and your support as we begin this meeting. We gather here today to an intent on doing good work. We seek to represent fairly and well those who have given us this task. Help us engage in meaningful discussion. Give us clarity and strength to use the best skills and judgment. Bless this community, its residents, its businesses, and its visitors. And help us do and continue doing good work in your name. Amen. Amen. Call to order. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead.
Here.
Councilmember Bracken.
Present.
Councilmember Davis.
Here.
Councilmember Brooks.
Present.
Councilmember Dietz.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Yes.
And Mayor Gray.
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, I thank everybody for coming tonight, whether you're online or in person. Happy December. It's kind of hard to believe. We had our start line last week, and it went fantastic as usual. We had great weather, and we had a great turnout. You know, 40,000 plus of your closest friends. So it was quite the event. And I do appreciate everybody attending, and we have several things going on the rest of the month, and I hope for a safe and a wonderful December. Councilmember Hollingshead.
No comment tonight, thanks.
Councilmember Bracken.
Thank you, Mayor. No comment.
Councilmember Davis.
Just wanted to thank you for all of our staff that worked so hard this year. We know that the star lighting was phenomenal. We appreciate all the nice lights that are down the street. It kind of makes our town a Hallmark looking thing, and I don't know if you guys ever watch Hallmark movies, but
sure.
They're all the same. They all end the same. But we did have one that was filmed here in town, so if you guys you want to call me and I'll give you the name of it. It was nice. So it's nice to see our town in a movie, but really sweet. It's nice to see our lights, and what a beautiful town we live in. So thank you for all that work so hard to keep it nice. Our snowplow guys that are going to be working tonight, getting us to work tomorrow. Rats. And but, yeah, thank you for everybody up here. I've been here for almost a year, for almost exactly a year. And thank you for inviting me in and treat me nicely. And thank you all for being in the audience. You guys are here all the time, so we just want to thank you guys for coming here and listening in, and I'll be the first to congratulate you. I really want you to sign my card, autograph my card, in case you're famous someday, which you already are. So I'll leave that here for when you're all done. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Brooks.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Take a different route into town every once in a while. I came in off of 25. I generally don't ever come in off of 25 and Wolfensberger and come through town that way. But I did tonight. And, man, speaking of the lights, it's amazing because it's lit up the whole way now, and it's beautiful. I mean, the town just looks magnificent this time of year. Star lighting was fantastic. Snow is coming tonight. Leave a little early tomorrow, all right? Don't light your hair on fire as soon as you get in the car. Take it easy. That's all I got. Thanks.
Councilmember Beats.
Thank you. I just feel like it's a blessing. We got the Crystal Valley Interchange coming along. I did use the northbound lane to get here quicker, the on-ramp quicker tonight. Oh, wait. I guess I didn't. It's coming, but I was, when the traffic was, there was a lot of traffic on the East Frontage Road tonight, and I thought, what a difference that's going to be when that interchange is done. If you haven't been across to go down to the west side, Frontage Road down to Toma, you don't have to go through the same hailstorm three times to get the Bear Dance. It's a lot better. With that said, too, I also want people to remember December 7th is Pearl Harbor Remembrance. Let's remember that day that sparked a generation. It was a monumental war, December 7th. Let's remember our military that serve, and along with the holidays coming up, our police and fire who provide awesome public safety to us that will be working many long hours and different times when they, I'm sure they'd like to be out looking at Christmas lights with their family, but they're on patrol keeping us safe. So I want to say thank you, police and fire. And that is it, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Yeah, I'd just like to echo what Max and Mark said about starlighting. It was fantastic. It was beautiful. It was a lovely evening. Lots of people. Everybody was really engaged. Super excited about the starlighting. I think it was great for our downtown businesses. I drove down Perry tonight on my way here, and I was just thinking, we do such an incredible job in this town. I travel a lot for work. I don't see any other town that does what we do, that puts forth the effort to make downtown as amazing as it is for Christmas. So I echo the thanks to all the people that work so hard putting it together, getting starlighting together. I think it was our biggest one ever, and I look forward to it for next year.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Along that note, I was in Salt Lake for a conference 2 weeks ago, and they were bragging about how great Salt Lake looks for the wintertime. Like, yeah, it looks pretty good. Yeah, good for you guys. moving on. Number one, Executive 2025-6, Executive Session Report, November 18th, 2025. An executive session was held at the conclusion of November 18, 2025, regular council meeting. The purpose of executive session was as follows. One, to discuss legal issues relating to Craig and Gould North project to determine positions on relative matters that may be subject to negotiation, developing strategies, negotiations, and instructions for the town's negotiators under CRS 24-6-402-4E, and possible town acquisition open space and negotiation with possible acquisition cost under CRS 24-6-402. If any council member believes that substantial discussion or any matters not included in the motion to go into executive session occurred during the executive session, or that improper action occurred during the executive session in violation of the open meetings law, I would ask you now to state your concerns for the record. Seeing none, moving on to unscheduled public appearances. This time is reserved for members of the public to make a presentation on council or on items or issues that are not scheduled on the agenda. As a general practice, council will not discuss or debate these items, nor will council make any decisions on the items presented during this time. Rather, they may refer to staff follow-up. The comments are limited to 3 minutes per speaker, 30 minutes total. Residents will be given a priority they signed up, followed by non-residents representing town and council businesses, then non-residents, and then the businesses outside of town of Castle Rock as time permits. Council is also accepting public comments be submitted online at crgov.com/councilcomments by 1 p.m. today to be included in the public record. I don't have anybody who was sent to speak. If someone wishes to speak, please approach the podium, speak in a microphone, state your name, and whether you're a resident, non-resident, or business owner, you have 3 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we'll move on to the town manager's report.
Just quickly to go through calendar, we've got several upcoming calendar items. Be sure and let Shannon know about your attendance plans for the State of the County event on December 11th, and then we also participate in the Toys for Tots event on the 12th, and then you see our last meeting of the year will be on the 16th, and then you see our Christmas holiday schedule, and then into New Year's and council meetings and a holiday, and then just to get on your calendars all the way into February now is the Fire and Rescue Department's annual awards banquet. I know a number of you enjoy attending. I do as well. So be sure and put that on your calendar for February the 7th. You'll be receiving appropriate invitations here soon, but we want to make sure you've got that appropriately calendared. A couple of items. We're having some neighborhood meetings on some items that will be coming to council. The last neighborhood meeting on the site development plan for Canyons Far South is on the 4th. And then we've got the kind of the loop road residential there that you all have been involved in as far as the land swap on the formerly designated school site. This is the rezoning, the town portion. We're having a neighborhood meeting on that. Pursuant to the agreement that we worked on in the land swap, that's what we're following through on, is rezoning that property. So you'll be seeing that. There is a proposal to turn what currently is a platted seven-lot property off of Emerald Drive that's named Emerald Hills to a 12-lot development. So we're having a neighborhood meeting on that in the first of the year. And then there along Ridge Road, there's a proposal to build an early childhood facility. So we're having a neighborhood meeting on that as well. And making sure that we've got plenty of opportunities to celebrate the holidays and Christmas. We've got our Starlight Market here Friday afternoon and Saturday. I understand the weather will be getting a little bit better for the weekend, so that'll be good. And then reindeer games. There are some people in Parks and Rec that get to dress up for all of that as well, into festive costumes and a number of other things. Santa Claus is visiting a whole bunch of places. I ran into him last week with the grandkids, so he's staying busy. That's all for the report that I'm going to provide. I'm now going to ask Jen Perry with our Arts Commission to introduce our holiday card art award winner.
Red button? There we go. I get to be here doing something kind of fun and exciting tonight. The Public Art Commission has partnered with the town for the last 4 years to do the Holiday Art Contest. Sorry, I wanted to grab show and tell. We had 27 students submit art, and there were wonderful submissions. It was a really hard decision. We had art submissions from all over the community, and we did have a winning artist, Cameron B., a Castle Rock resident and eighth grader at Pikes Peak School of Expeditionary Learning. She did a colored pencil drawing of the rock with the star on top called Starry Night. Her art not only is on the card here, but it'll also be at various town facilities. And she gets a set of printed cards as a part of her award, and a gift card so that she can buy more art supplies and build that a wonderful talent. They are for sale at the Cantrell School, Miller Activity Complex, and Castle Rock Recreation Center. Packs of 10 cards are $10, and they directly support public art initiatives. And I will note that we've already had to reorder them once because we sold out so fast. People are loving the cards this year. So we would love for Cameron to come up and get her picture taken, if you don't mind. In front of your poster. Mayor Gray, do you mind?
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Thank you, Jen.
I'll be selling this for $1,000.
Yeah, that's great. And then Tara's going to provide us with some development updates.
I wish I had some beautiful art for you all to see tonight, but I don't yet. Here we go. This is your monthly update on development activity related to pre-applications. And those types of projects. So as a reminder, pre-applications aren't a formal application yet in the community, but it is an opportunity for folks to ask what the process would be if they move forward. The first one we have is in District 2, Mayor Pro Tem Cavey's district. This is for another run of fiber. So underground utilities are popular with fiber at the moment. So this is in Terrain, just over 7,000 linear feet of conduit and fiber that would run along Autumn Sage Street, generally from Highway 86 up past the school there. In District 3, Councilmember Bracken's district, we've had a pre-application for a retail center off of Limelight. We've looked at this property in the past a couple years ago. It's about a 21,000 square foot building, a mix of uses, retail, restaurant, office space, and associated parking. So we'll see if that project moves forward. District 4, Councilmember Davis's district. And just a note on the map that it's a little larger now, so we've got the Pine Canyon property shown in there. Downtown here at Grinnelli's, they are looking to see what the process is to add a sidewalk and possibly a shed on the back portion of that building. Rivers Church is looking at moving into a couple different tenant spaces on the property off, it's addressed off Wilcox Street, but it backs to Perry Street. It's where the Bricky's Coffee used to be and a pizza shop to the north there. So looking at expanding into those spaces. Woodlands Crossing, this is moving a little north of downtown, so this is at 5th Street in Woodlands. This property is in the town, and a proposal is looking at rezoning it for multifamily on this area, 176 units and associated dog park, playground, that type of thing. And then Pine Canyon has submitted their first pre-applications for their first two residential areas that they're proposing right now, planning areas 2 and 3. These are off of Founders Parkway, so just west of Founders Parkway. Planning area 2 is for up to 50 residential single-family lots, and planning area 3 is 85. So again, every project is required to go through pre-application before it becomes a formal submittal, so this isn't a formal submittal at this time, but it's a great opportunity for them to get all of our checklists and understanding of the process to move forward to site development plan. District 6 in Councilmember Dietz's district, we have a proposal down in Dawson Trails for a new substation for Core Electric. They do have one north of Dawson Trails, the Citadel Station area, and then they've got, Yucca Hills, and then they've got this one proposed, and that'll just add capacity to this side of town. Just to the east of I-25 from there, where the existing Plum Creek Community Church is located, they're looking at doing an expansion, possibly in phases, some interior renovations to their children's ministry spaces and auditorium. Additionally, a proposed two-story addition on a portion of the building, and then reconfiguring the parking lot and adding parking along the edges that would add 102 parking spaces in that location. Just to the north of them, we have a pre-application for World Compass Academy Charter School. They are looking to also make some changes to add 69 parking spaces in their lot. They do have an agreement with the church to the south where they do share parking also, so it adds expanded capacity for both buildings. And then I do want to, that was the end of the pre-applications. We have not had any new quasi-judicial applications submitted in the last month. I did want to just give a quick update on our quarterly residential unit count. This is something that was asked for at my last update a month ago. We update our residential unit counts every quarter. We do have a webpage for it. So through Q3, so September 30th of this year, we estimate our population at 87,838 residents. This is 57% of our maximum build-out that's possible at the moment. When we talk about maximum build-out, that's based off of all of the entitled units, the approved units for property. We do know that some areas don't have the physical land space to complete their entitled units, so we also, as a part of that quarterly update, do a realistic build-out update. And so we still state that our realistic build-out build-out's between about $120,000 to $140,000. An example I'll give, and then this is all updated online, so I wanted to make sure you all and anybody watching had the link. Once a quarter when these are updated, I'm happy to bring back a slide like this with the current update and the link to remind everyone watching where it is. But this page, what you see before you is a screenshot off that page. Up at the dais, I did a printout. It's got two sides to it, so that's really what residents see today when they go to that web page and what those numbers are updated at. Online, if you hover over the shaded areas of town, they will indicate the percent build out of those areas. So, for example, I live over in the Meadows. It's about a 76% build out for entitlements, but the majority of all of the land area for residential is already built. So that's what I mean when I say a realistic build out of 120,000 in population, because some areas that could have been multifamily or single family are built today as single family, so we're going to have a lower density. So hopefully that answers questions, but if it raises new ones, I'm happy to answer those too. So happy to take any questions you have at this time.
Any questions for Tara? I just want to say thanks. One of the things I get, like, you know, the Meadows had the entitlement of 10,000 homes and are going to be roughly 8 when they're done. So
yes, yep.
And that's pretty typical. So thank you again.
All right, thank you.
That concludes my report. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, David. Moving on to the town attorney's report.
No report tonight, Mayor.
Thank you. Acceptance of the agenda, no changes, additions, or deletions to the agenda. A motion to accept the agenda as presented will be accepted.
Move to accept the agenda.
Second.
First by Councilmember Bracken, second by Councilmember Davis. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead.
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken.
Yes.
Councilmember Davis.
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks.
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Yes.
And Mayor Gray.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to consent calendar. These items are generally routine in nature and have been previously reviewed by town council and will be voted on in a single motion without discussion. Any member of town council may remove an item from the consent calendar. Number 6, ordinance 2025-34, ordinance levying general property taxes for the town of Castle Rock, Colorado for the year 2025 to be collected in 2026. Number 7, ordinance 2025-35, ordinance levying general property taxes on behalf of the Castle Rock Downtown Development Authority for year 2025 to be collected in 2026. Number 8, resolution 2025-149, resolution approving the Town of Castle Rock's 2024 Consolidated Annual Performance and Evaluation Report. Number 9, 2025-150, resolution of the Town Council of Town of Castle Rock approving variance from the Douglas County Street naming criteria for Castle Meadows Street. Number 10, minutes 2025-24, minutes November 18th, 2025 Town Council meeting. I'll accept the motion.
So moved.
Second.
First by Councilmember Bracken, second by Councilmember Hollingshead. I will roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
And Mayor Gray?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Moving on to quasi-judicial hearings. The following items are due process hearings required by Colorado law. In order to afford all parties due process under law, the town council members must be fair and impartial in deciding whether an application should be approved, approve of conditions, or denied. In making this determination, each council member must consider for the record, which includes planning commission recommendation, staff recommendation, applicant presentation, public comment presented during the hearing, and other written public comments offered during or before the hearing. Under law, town council must evaluate the proposal based solely upon record and criteria established under municipal code, which is highlighted in the staff report. It is important that each member remain objective and capable of considering information offered into the record during the hearing. If any council member believes that he or she is incapable of evaluating and voting on application consistent with the due process requirements, please describe the situation and recuse yourself from participation. Does any council member have a conflict of interest or any other matter that he or she would like to disclose prior to the proceeding? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, has a public hearing been properly noticed under applicable regulations of land use type hearings?
Yes, it has.
Thank you. The council will now hear from the applicant, public, and staff. Public comments will be taken limited to 4 minutes per speaker. Number 11, Resolution 2025-151, resolution approving the site development plan for mixed-use development within the 826 Park Street expansion for, and 200 Wolfensberger plan development, Unity on Wolfensberger project. Tara Bargish.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. So, Town Council, this is the site development plan for Wellspring's most current project called Unity on Wolfensberger. So, a little reminder of where this is located. You have seen it previously this year with the rezoning. So, it's just south of Wolfensberger Road and east of Park Street. It's just over 1.3 acres in size. And it is the location of the previous Quality Inn for this property. So a little bit about the zoning. It was rezoned earlier this year into a very uncreatively named plan development with just the addresses. But that zoning applies to this property and the property to the southwest of it. And it allows specifically a place of worship on the property to the south. And for this property specifically, it allows the residential multifamily uses, offices for an IDD, which is Wellsprings works with intellectually disabled and developmental folks and their programming, and it allows residential units for them as well. It allows a maximum of 24 residential units. So that was approved earlier this year. This site development plan is the next step of the approval process. As I mentioned, it is an existing building today with an existing parking lot. So it was previously the Quality Inn Hotel with 70 rooms. The building is two stories. It does have a building height of about 28 feet. The maximum building height allowed is 35 feet, but they don't have proposed changes to that. So it's just over 31,000 square feet. Their main floor will be utilized for the Wellsprings community offices and day programs. The hotel rooms are being renovated for 24 residential dwelling units. Just over half of those, probably I believe 14 of them, are for individuals that are IDD. The other are for neurotypical units. And then the parking is existing on the site today. So they are making some improvements to the exterior of the building and just some general renovations and refreshing of the property. So community outreach specific to the site development plan. There were previous neighborhood meetings held for the rezoning, so we had one specific for the site development plan. Nobody attended that meeting, and we noticed properties, but we do get folks that support the project and the property coming to either meet with Wellsprings or ask questions about how to get on the wait list. A little bit about site development plan in the municipal code. These are the general five criteria that regulate what we look at. Again, the circulation to the property is not changing. The building itself and the parking lot itself are not changing in gray areas. And it'll still be used, serviced by all of the same utilities that service it today. So staff found that it does comply with the site development plan criteria. It does meet the objectives of the town's vision and comprehensive master plan. Planning Commission reviewed this at their most recent meeting and recommended approval 5-0 to you all tonight for this facility. So with that, I've got a proposed motion for your consideration of approval. I've got alternate motions if you'd like. The applicant, I believe the consultant is with us tonight and has a short presentation to make. So happy to answer any questions now or after their presentation.
Any questions before the presentation or before public comment?
I just got one question.
Go ahead, Mark Davis.
When will this be completed that people start moving in?
I'll let the applicant speak to that. I believe they are very close to getting some of their interior building renovations done. If you'll recall, council did make some approvals at the time of their rezoning to allow them to get started early at their risk ahead of tonight. So I believe they are on track for, I think, a TCO later this month, but I don't want to speak for them. I'm not sure if the consultant here tonight can speak to the date, but he can. He's got it. All right. He's on it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Good evening. Ross Friend with Matrix Design Group, the consultant representing Wellspring Community tonight. Get this going. Just a little bit about Wellspring, just to kind of refresh. Wellspring's mission is to create a community where adults with IDD are empowered to live full, productive, and satisfying lives in a God-centered environment. and now Wellspring's programming. They're great programming. They have day programs, they have work opportunities, and residential services. And with this project, the Unity on Wolfensberger, they would double their residential capacity and be able to grow their work and day programs by 50%. So this is a big deal for Wellspring, great project. Already kind of looked at this vicinity here, but it's by the Guadalajara restaurant. Unity on Park is located adjacent, as well as the Castle Oaks Church. Just to cover a few more, as we're stated, there's 24 kind of residential units or condos, at least 14 for adults with IDD. The rest would be neurotypical. Dedicated classroom space, 4 total. A larger and on-site art studio, 3 additional work opportunity spaces, office space for all Wellspring personnel, and the ability to double the number of participants in the program. They currently have a wait list of 135 individuals, so this will help out quite a bit. And just to kind of cover some of the civil site improvements on the SDP, they're adding sidewalk along the front of the existing building. It will improve the pedestrian kind of flow through there, be safer. Adding a sidewalk connection to Wolfensberger Road, that will be a ramp that provides ADA access from Wolfensberger to directly to the site. Restriping the parking lot. So the parking lot isn't really changing, but they will be seal coating and restriping it to bring it up to current code, 18-foot parking spaces and those things. Relocating the dumpster onto the property. It's currently right now, it kind of sits now as what Castle Oaks Church property is. So it's moving about 15 feet onto the Unity property. And then to bring the landscape and irrigation up to current code, just some refreshing of the landscape and getting that in good shape. And that's kind of it. Are there any questions?
Any questions for presentation or for Tara staff? Thank you very much. We'll now move on to public comment. I have no one signed up to speak. If someone wishes to speak, please approach the podium and speak in the microphone. Say you're a resident, non-resident, or business owner. You'll have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we'll be back to town council for a possible motion and discussion.
I move to approve the resolution as introduced by title.
Second.
I have a first by Mayor Pro Tem Cavey, a second by Councilmember Davis. I'd like to speak in favor of it. I mean, it's another moving forward with Wellspring is a pretty much a no-brainer. I mean, the work they do has been incredible in our town. I'm so glad as a town and as a council we can support it. Yes, ma'am.
You know, up here a lot of times you have to make some hard decisions that aren't really popular with the community. But this isn't one of them. And so it's great when we get to make decisions like this that benefit the community and are, you know, wonderful things that we can do for the folks in the IDD community. So I couldn't be prouder to be able to vote yes on something like this.
Thank you. Any further comment? Councilmember Bracken.
Thank you, Mayor. Yep, I was supportive of the first phase and supportive of the second phase, and I'd love to see a third phase. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead.
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken.
Yes.
Councilmember Davis.
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks.
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Yes.
And Mayor Gray.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes unanimous.
Thank you. Next is advertised public hearings and discussion of action items. So, sorry.
I apologize. I did want to quickly answer Councilmember Davis's question. It sounds like they may be ready for some of their first residents in February. So after they've got the building work done, they'll wrap up the site work. So I apologize. I didn't want to interrupt when you were in the middle of your motion and the voting. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Tara. Ordinance number 12 on the agenda, Ordinance 2025-39, Ordinance concerning the financing, acquisition, construction of the fire station facility with associated amenities and supporting public improvements and connection therewith, authorizing the execution and delivery by the town of site lease agreement and lease purchase agreement and other documents related thereto, providing other matters related thereto. First reading, Mike Hyman.
Thank you, Mayor, members of Town Council. Tonight we'll be discussing an ordinance which will concern the partial financing of Fire Station 156, which has been long awaited for Castle Rock. So without further ado, let's see. Hit the button, Mike. So we're ready to move forward with construction of Fire Station 156. It's going to primarily serve Castle Oaks and Liberty Village. We think that station will house an engine, Type 6 brush truck, and then we'll be staffed with one lieutenant, one engineer, and one to two firefighters who will be paramedics/EMTs. We're also going to have the logistics center, which will be a great move. It'll give the fire department a little more room to maintain their equipment and centralize their supplies. We're looking at approximately a $20.7 million project, given all the improvements. The proposed ordinance sets forth the parameters of the financing piece. We'll be issuing up to $8.3 million in tax-exempt certificates of participation, and that's going to be the primary source of funding. We've got additional funding coming from interfund loans, $6 million from the Tabor Fund, $5 million from the General Fund. And then the remainder of funding will come from fund balance and Fire Capital Fund, which really consists mostly of impact fees on new developments. So development paying its own way here. Leaseback financing. Here's the cast of characters who are involved. Of course, the town of Castle Rock. We've got the trustee, that's UMB Bank. Hilltop Securities is our financial advisor. Butler Snow, our bond counsel. Stiefel Nicholas, the underwriter. And Stradling Law, the underwriter's counsel. This may look familiar to you because we did another financing back earlier this year for the Sports Development Center. You're going to see a lot of the same type of issues here, smaller amount. So, we have a 4.9-acre parcel of land within the village's Castle Rock subdivision, previously dedicated as open space, but we've decided this is the place for Fire Station 156. We're going to be entering into a site lease agreement for that property with trustee. It's going to include also all the buildings and improvements that are going to be located on that property. And then the trustee is going to enter into a lease with the town, a lease purchase agreement for that leased property. I know it's a interesting deal, but we call this a leaseback. So it works, and that's how these deals are done. Per the terms of the lease purchase agreement, we're going to make rental payments to the trustee twice annually over a 30-year period, which is the term of the lease. For federal and state income tax purposes, those rental payments are going to include both a principal and interest component. And at the end of the lease term, there's going to be a purchase option price, and we'll pay that, presumably acquire full title to the property once more. Just note this, the lease purchase agreement will actually include a prepayment option in case the town is able to pay it off earlier, which is something we did with the Miller Activity Complex. Okay, so here we go. The trustee is going to execute and deliver an indenture of trust. Pursuant to that indenture, they're going to issue what we call certificates of participation in the rental payments under that lease. The COP is a financing instrument. Allows an investor to purchase a share of those payments, those rental payments, as opposed to a bond, which is secured by straight town revenues. The trustee then enters into a certificate purchase agreement with the underwriter, who's going to offer those COPs to their investors for sale, usually institutional investors like insurance companies or bond funds. The net proceeds from the sale of the COPs will be used by the town to finance Fire Station 156. This is sort of the advantage of lease-back financing in Colorado. We first approved this type of financing in a 1981 case out of Lakewood as an exception to the election requirements that govern the issuance of general obligation debt in the state. This is pre-Tabor. Once Tabor came along, Boulder County obtained a judgment in the 1994 case above that exempts leaseback financings from the Tabor election requirements. So it's not considered a multi-year fiscal obligation. The reason for that is because our obligation to make rental payments is subject to your decision to appropriate funds to make those payments. So every year you get a chance to say yay or nay. Typically, why we finance improvements like fire stations is there's not a lot of chance that you're going to say nay, but it's still there in the agreement to make sure we comply with the law. So the leasehold interest of the trustee secures the certificates, which means that if we do say nay and walk away from the deal, the trustee is free to find another operator for the facility. So here's the parameters that are being set up in the ordinance that you're looking at tonight. You'll be delegating the authority to the town manager and the finance director under state law to approve the final terms of the financing. So the site lease termination date shall be no later than December 31st, 2065. The lease term isn't to extend beyond December 31st, 2055. The aggregate principal amount of the base rentals payable by the town is not to exceed $8.3 million. The maximum annual repayment amount is not to exceed $725,000. Maximum total repayment amount, including principal and interest, not going to exceed $17 million. And then the lease is subject to prepayment without penalty. So the earliest prepayment date that we can approve has to occur by no later than December 1st, 2036. So the most number of years that we'll have, before we can exercise that prepayment date is about roughly 10 years. The maximum net effective interest rate is going to be 5.25%. But as we've seen from our prior deal this year, I think we're going to be able to beat that in the market pretty easily. Budgetary impacts, you're really looking at $8.3 million in costs that are going to be financed by this mechanism. Repayment amount over a 30-year period is going to be $17 million, certainly less if we exercise our option. And it's roughly about a $725,000 hit. So without further ado, we recommend that we consider the first motion. Probably should have mentioned that this is ordinance 2025-039, but I wrote this before we got assigned a number. So if you have any questions, free to answer them. I know Trish is back there, and she also has been integrally involved in this deal, so as has our illustrious fire chief, Norris Gruden.
Thank you, Michael. Any questions for staff? Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Is this compounding interest? I mean, 8.3 for the COPs, and then over 30 years, it's more than double.
Yeah, all interest essentially compounds in these deals.
Okay.
So when you look at the repayment amount, it looks like a big number, right?
Yeah.
But when you think about it from a perspective of what the present value of that number is, you're not looking at nearly as much. It's just that there's a cost to borrowing money.
Yeah, that's a pretty significant We're getting 8.3 and we're paying back 17.
Right. Well, obviously the hope is that we're able to do the prepayments before the 30 years expire.
Exactly.
I mean, 30 years is a long time in municipal history, and by that point we probably will be as we heard from Tara, a little bit larger town, a little bit more revenue coming in, and these are the consequences of needing these facilities now, even though they're going to be multi-generational facilities. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the hope is to do that now, but there is a cost to borrowing it. The good news is that for the $20 million project, the rest of it is coming from funds that are not at this rate. We've been able to save funds for it. One of the first things we did with the initial Tabor surplus was to put it toward this station. We're also making a very, very important investment in addition to the fire station. We have the logistics facility that will allow us to maintain our apparatus in an appropriate facility. We don't have that now. So, I mean, I know we're not kind of getting into the merits of the project versus your question on the financing, but I mean, we see this as a necessary cost of doing business for this facility, but we hope to be able to either refinance or pay off the obligation sooner than that 30 years.
Exactly. Now, I'll just add also, you're looking at a parameter, an outside parameter. We're hoping to beat those numbers. So otherwise, we do have to come back to you for approval. So it's going to be set at a little higher amount than what it's actually going to be in the ordinance so that we can have whatever room to make sure that we hit the market.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Any further questions? Councilmember Brooks?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the slide, I think it's marked, I think it's your second one. I think it's two, but then it's whatever, 301 in the packet. There's a mention in here of just the maximum annual repayment amount will not exceed 725. Right. I think earlier in the presentation and said that would be the maximum base amount, so then that way additional funds could be paid on top of it, so we're paying it early. So does that need to be specified that we're not capping it at 725, that's just 725 at the base?
Well, yeah, 725, that is the maximum base rental.
Right.
It doesn't include any prepayment amount or anything like that. It's just the rental.
Got it. Okay.
Any further questions? Seeing none, I will now open to the public. I have no one signed to speak. If anyone wishes to speak, please approach the podium and speak in the microphone. State your whether you're a resident, non-resident, or business owner. You'll have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to town council for a possible motion and discussion.
I move to approve ordinance number 2025-039 as introduced by title.
Second.
Councilmember Brooks first, Councilmember Dietz second. And any talk about this? Roll call vote, please.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Number 13, Resolution 2025-152. Resolution amending policies and procedures for the nonprofit funding programs for the town of Castle Rock, presented by Kristen Reed.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I'm here following up on a discussion that we had at your last meeting regarding the regulations surrounding the Council Community Grant Program. So you all provided direction regarding 6 changes, and so these couple of slides that we have walk you through those changes, which would be implemented for the program starting in 2026. You do have the fourth quarter awards. Next meeting, these would not apply to that award cycle, only to those beginning in 2026. So the first one is that budget increase to $20,000. That would cap out awards at $1,000 per request and $5,000 per quarter. We also inserted preference for location, excuse me, organizations located within Castle Rock. Currently, you're allowed to accommodate organizations as long as they serve residents, but this strengthens that requirement to focus more so on organizations located within Castle Rock. We also struck the eligibility for community-based performing and visual arts programs and activities because, as we discussed, those can be directed to the new arts and culture grant program that was established this year. So those are the first three changes that you'll see if you review the exhibit that's attached to the resolution in your packet. The next set of changes, the top one, it's verbatim what's in the new policy. Youth sports and high school sports are not eligible unless they have an opportunity not repetitive or a project that uniquely contributes back to the community. The next item involves the amount of awards that are brought in front of council, similar to the Philip S. Miller resource grants. This is to have staff prioritize applications and bring forward up to 5 per quarter for review. So not all of the applicants would be invited, only those who were recommended based upon the criteria, similar to what's done with those Philip S. Miller grants. And then the final change is to ask applicants who are awarded 2 years in a row to sit out a year before they're eligible again. So that wraps up all the direction we heard from you all at the last meeting when we discussed this. And if that is in line with your wishes for this program, we do have the motion for you to approve the resolution and are glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Kristen. Any questions before it goes to public comment? I have no one signed up to speak. If someone would like to speak, please approach the podium, speak into the microphone. State your whether a resident, non-resident, or business owner, you have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we're back to town council for a possible motion and discussion.
Move to approve the resolution as introduced by title.
Second.
First by Councilmember Bracken, I'm sorry, Councilmember Deeds, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Cavey. I'd like to speak in favor of it. I'd like to speak in favor of, and just thanking the Kristen and everybody else for really diving deep. All the great comments online and in the emails and discussion here about this. I think that, you know, it had been kind of muddled for a while, and I'm glad that we kind of straightened some things out. Councilmember Deeds.
I agree with your sentiments. I think great work. I think that if, you know, I would always love to give away more money. Great causes is a great program, and I think that just tightening it up will make it a lot better. And I think some of you guys brought up that point of not having to pick the losers and have them be here. So that's one of those things. Not that they're losers, just that it's not fun.
Councilmember Brooks.
Yeah, it's kind of a good problem to have, right? That the popularity of the program has grown so much and involvement in it has grown so much that, you know, we're at the point where we've got to try to just tighten it up a little bit. Really appreciate your work on this. And I think what we're, you know, it doesn't mean that this won't change again in the future, but I think it's come a long way to be able to put some guardrails around it. And just, again, appreciate your work with it because I think it's a great move.
Thanks again. Roll call vote.
Councilmember Hollingson?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gregg?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Number 14, Resolution 2025-153, Resolution approving the Castle Rock Parks and Recreation Department 2025-2027 Strategic Plan. Jeff Brower?
I know that as you guys, as leaders of this community, this dynamic and growing community, you all understand the value of good planning. And so we always talk about plan, and then implement. And so tonight before you is the 2025 to 2027 strategic plan for the Parks and Recreation Department here in Castle Rock. So this is basically a roadmap for maintaining our exceptional parks, trails, recreation facilities, and open space. So this is not new. This is built on council vision, developed through community feedback, through our staff collaboration, and it aligns with our 2330 comprehensive master plan. What it does is very simply is it identifies the priorities that we're going to work on that address the quality of life here in Castle Rock. As a nationally accredited agency, this is one of the requirements through our Commission for the Accreditation, and so we have to go ahead and have this plan reviewed and approved by Town Council. So it does demonstrate our ongoing commitment to the excellence here that we've been able to provide on Parks and Recreation. So our expectation here in the community is that we've had everything through the public, and this plan
this plan was indeed vetted through with community input. From 23 to 25, we've gone ahead and provided community surveys. We provide online questionnaires. One of the things that's really kind of special about our department is we are very customer facing, and so we have constant feedback from all those participants in our programs. So that goes on each program that we go ahead and provide. We also went ahead and had staff provide internal workshops, so each one of our staff members got to go ahead and focus on their division and how they wanted to go ahead and deliver services to this community. So we refined those, and we put those into a summary. So I wanted to go ahead and highlight, all of you have the plan in your packet, and I just kind of wanted to highlight the format in here because we think this is kind of special, and it really basically engages our staff, we think, pretty well. We've got this basically broken down into five different divisions. And you can see in there that each division has their own mission, vision, and operating philosophy. Each division was responsible for going ahead and identifying their issues and challenges that they face now and going forward. They provided their best shot at 3-year goals, and then they developed measurable objectives and action strategies for getting there. So this is the answer for all of our staff and our community of why, how, and when we're going to do this. So we've kind of answered those questions moving forward. So it provides a very clear framework for our staff to go ahead and implement that. So it gives them a great opportunity for success, and it makes them all accountable for their performance throughout the year. Just to take a quick look at some of the things that we've done, our track record for implementation. When you have good planning in place, you can go ahead and you can execute some town priorities. You can see from this bulleted list here that we've been able to achieve some incredible things here recently in Castle Rock by having those strategic initiatives identified through our process here, through the planning process, and through our budgeting process, and then endorsed by Town Council. So this particular method of developing a strategic plan is very, very effective. So let's get to the 2025 to 2027 strategic priorities. This is not all inclusive, but this is the highlights that we have for Parks and Recreation. Obviously, number one, activate Lost Canyon Ranch open space. We are currently working on our multi-use trails, our roadway improvements to get the public access, our parking, so once they get there, they can go ahead and have a great place to go to access the trails. We are currently working on wayfinding and our interpretive signage, very similar to the Metzler Ranch open space. And we're looking at other amenities out there that will balance the recreation with our conservation expectations out there on the site. So this is one of our strategic initiatives listed in the plan. You've all been working very diligently on the Castle Rock Sports Center. We're looking at opening this in 2027. You all participated in the groundbreaking of that. This center will feature a natatorium, gymnasium space, fitness and training areas, a commitment that Castle Rock and Douglas County have made to fitness of the community. It has meeting rooms, flexible space, and it will meet our growing demands for sports, recreation, and wellness opportunities here in this community. One of the things you all always hear from your constituents is, how do we connect things? And one of the things we do is we develop our trail connection. So in here, as part of our plan, we have the Industrial Tributary Trail connecting our Brickyard area and Philip S. Miller Park to downtown. We also have the Santa Fe Quarry Trail, and you will notice that this is a 2025 trail, so some of these are actually completed, so I can check that off. Santa Fe Trail and Red Hawk neighborhoods with Ridgeline Open Space. And then we also have on here is working with Douglas County and combining Cobblestone and Macanta Open Space and enhancing our regional trail access as that becomes available. We can't forget about the existing recreation facilities that we have, and we work with some very good folks here in our town manager's office and facilities, and so we're looking at providing some HVAC and mechanical replacements over at our rec center. We're looking at flooring and finish upgrades, lighting improvements, locker room improvements on those existing facilities, and always taking a look at accessibility and making sure that we can enhance those and modernize those community assets. One of our more treasured assets here in Castle Rock is Cantrell School. We're looking at continuing reinvestment in that particular venue. We're looking at parking lot rehabilitation, gym and auditorium renovation, increasing the sound capacity in there. We're looking at window and roof replacement and completion of a site master plan so we can have a good plan going forward on Cantrell School. You've heard a lot this year about the performance of Red Hawk Ridge Golf Course. We're really looking at continuing our reinvestment here. You've recently approved the irrigation main pumps, main station and pump replacements. We're looking at parking lot repairs. We're looking at transitioning our cart fleet to lithium battery carts. And you just heard a COP issuance not too long ago, but we are on schedule to retire our debt in 2027 for Red Hawk Ridge Golf Course.
That's awesome.
We will be strengthening our park operations and maintenance. As you know, our parks are beloved by our community. We try to go ahead and have neighborhood parks within walking distance of every neighborhood here in Castle Rock. So we're really looking at completing life cycle replacements across the entire park system. We're looking at going ahead and investing in security upgrades, LED light conversions. We're looking at going ahead and making a commitment to the comfort of all those parks with tree replacements, and also going ahead and staying up to date technology-wise by working on our asset management system to improve our long-term efficiency. So we can't leave behind the business and administrative operations. We're looking at going ahead and standardizing our procurement. We're looking at technology integration. We're looking at dynamic key performance indicator dashboards so that we can in real time tell people what's going on in the parks, what's popular, what's not, what's available and what's not. We've seen this in other communities and it works really well. We're looking at making sure that we have data-driven decisions. We are also looking at maintaining our CAPRA accreditation, so we'll be submitting for our five-year review and ongoing reports thereafter. And last but not least, expanding and celebrating community events and programs. And you guys know how important this is to all the community members out there. This builds our fellowship, this brings people together socially, and it really creates a sense of community. So we'd like to go ahead and continue to do this and foster that community connection and identity. And we can look forward to some great events here in Castle Rock. That's a summary of our 2025 to 2027 Parks and Recreation Strategic Plan. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Any questions for Jeff before we go to public comment? Councilmember Deeds.
Thank you, Jeff. Real quick, I've just heard a lot, and it's on my own mind. Have we ever thought about what it would cost or what we could do in the future to expand the Miller Amphitheater seating and grass and stuff? I know that's probably an expensive venture, but if we sat more?
I can tell you that it's on our wish list. We have identified that. We do know that it would be a significant cost, but we are we have started to discuss that with members of the community that we think may be influential in kind of making some of that improvement happen.
I like to hear it because you know I keep bringing this up because then I can get Def Leppard here. Thank you.
Councilmember Brooks.
Not a terribly important question, but just kind of caught my eye here. What's the advantage of moving to lithium batteries on the carts and then the potential downside of how those things are impossible to, you know, put out in case there's a fire?
Yeah, it's keeping pace with the technology and performance of the carts. One of the things that we require at Red Hawk, because the topographic challenges, is that they're adequately powered, and so we believe that our cart manufacturer has produced a product that's cleaner and neater and powerful enough to go ahead and take on the challenges at Red Hawk. So that's what they're liking at this point in time, and kind of streamlining our maintenance on those. We do understand some of the concerns, and so we'll be working with our providers to go ahead and try to minimize that.
Councilmember Deese.
Great question.
Jumping on Councilmember Brooks's here is, can you drive a lithium-powered cart into a pond to put out the fire? Or is that bad? Is water bad on lithium? Just a thought.
Thanks for the question.
I don't know if it's a question.
Councilmember Davis.
Jump on that as well. So is this a slow transition where you're going to erase all of the carts that you have now, or are you going to do like a couple carts and see how
we would
goes?
Do it. We would do it as well. We would demo carts to begin with, and then we would do an entire fleet conversion at one time if we were satisfied with that, if we were comfortable with that.
Any further questions for staff? I'll now open the public. I have no one sent to speak. If someone wishes to speak, please approach the podium and speak in a microphone. State your name, whether a resident, non-resident, or business owner. You'll have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we're back to town council for a possible motion and discussion.
I move to approve the resolution as introduced by title.
Second.
First by Councilmember Dietz, second by Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Davis.
Sorry.
We look alike.
Wow.
I'm
all over the place today. Councilmember Davis, followed by Mayor Pro Tem Cavey. Roll call vote.
Councilmember Hollingshead.
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken.
Yes.
Councilmember Davis.
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks.
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Yes.
And Mayor Gray.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you. Number 15, Resolution 2025-154. Resolution of the Town Council of the Town of Castle Rock, Colorado, opting out of provisions of sections 31-23-316 CRS regarding permitting for the electric vehicle charging systems. Tara Vargas.
All right. Good evening, Mayor and Town Council. This is about electrical vehicle charging stations. So I do want to show a picture of the most recent one that's been developed in town. This is the Tesla Supercharger that opened up a few weeks ago in the Milestone Shopping Center area, generally thought of as the area outside of Kohl's parking lot. So we have several electric vehicle chargers in town. Target was one of the first ones that made kind of a major change on part of their parking lot. Whole Foods put some in after the fact. I think Walmart had some for a little bit and then took them out. So we've had several that have been permitted through our normal process. So I wanted to first show what this section of the House bill is referring to. So what is House Bill 24-1173? So this bill requires communities over 10,000 in population and size to take action by the end of this year in one of three ways. First is to either adopt the Colorado's model EV charger permitting standards, or to adopt our own local objective standards with an administrative review specifically for EV charges, or we can choose to adopt a resolution that says we're going to continue to use our current permitting and review process, which is not expressly called out for EV chargers. So staff is recommending before you tonight that we go with the third option, where we maintain our current permit leveling, and I'll explain a little bit about what that is. So first, why did the state I don't know if I can say why the state put this in place, but what's in the state's model code? They're really driving at making sure that the permitting requirements are straightforward, that they're standardized, that they're subjective criteria, they're checklist-based criteria, and that they're just, it's a clear process for folks that want to do this, including transparency and public availability of what's out there. So some of the ones I showed on the last slide are mentioned. The EV chargers so far permitted in town have gone through our typical administrative process. We believe we have clear timelines. We believe we have clear requirements and standards. For example, the most recent ones outside of Kohl's, their existing parking spaces, and when they converted them to EV chargers, they just went through a building permit process. So that wasn't a public hearing process. It wasn't a discussion of whether we like the color of the charging stations. They had to meet standardized electrical code and install it, and it was inspected per code. So we do think that our current process, which applies to all sorts of things, not just EV chargers, is sufficient, and that we are not promoting or encouraging the creation of a unique special process just for EV chargers. It's kind of the same process that some properties have gone through when they added a bank ATM in an existing parking lot. So again, we think it's streamlined and straightforward. The other requirements under the House bill are one that by the end of this year, we decide which of those three actions to take. Again, staff is recommending we maintain our current administrative permitting process. Before March of next year, we need to inform the state of which path we chose. And then throughout next year, we'll keep track of how many new electrical vehicle charging permit requests we get, how long they take to process, and what our final decisions were, and then report that to the state next year. Again, we've not seen a huge influx in our community. We've seen new developments add them. For example, the Encore parking garage has a couple spaces. So that was just a part of that process to begin with. Meadowmark has a number of electric vehicle chargers in their parking lot. So we've seen interest, but we are not seeing any issues with how we currently regulate them. If those were to arise, we would bring that before you all. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions, but we have a straightforward motion to approve the resolution where we would be opting out of the state's plans or recommended model codes, and that we are choosing to stick with our current processing.
Questions for Tara? Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Tara, this is a little off topic. You know, when we're looking at some of these places where they put in the EV chargers, you know, it's like 5 parking spaces, 10 parking spaces, you know, something along that line. Earlier, when you were doing some of your kind of updates, you were talking about a 10-acre EV charging area in Dawson Trails. Was it 10 acres that you said?
No, not for EV charging. So Core Electric is putting in a substation.
Got it.
They're not very beautiful, but they're the large substations in town that provide the electrical capacity. It might have said 110 kilovolts or kilowatts, so it had some numbers on there. So that's not what this applies to. If we had a large EV charger station coming in that acted more like a gas station, then we'd probably have to discuss kind of how that works. But even the Tesla supercharger to date with their 15 stalls is the largest we've had, and that parking lot is probably underutilized a little bit today, and so it will provide some life to that plaza as people plug in and need to go shop for 20 to 50 minutes, depending on how long they're there. So we've not seen an issue with it, and we've not seen any larger than the 15.
Curious, do they charge for that? Do you have to pay something, or do you just...
You do. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. There's a variety, whether they're owned by Tesla or there's a whole host of companies, and it's usually you pay for it through an app. There are some communities that have free charging. We had two installed at the MAC that Core sponsored a couple years ago.
Yeah, that weren't those
that were free. I'm not sure if they still are, but Core was Core subsidized them. Are they still free?
No,
they're not free anymore. But it is considerably less than paying for gas at the moment. But
okay, yeah. Just curious. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Any further questions for Tara or staff? Seeing none, we'll open to the public. I have no one's time to speak. If someone wishes to speak, please approach the podium, speak in a microphone, state your name, whether you're a resident, non-resident, or business owner. You will have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we'll now bring it back to town council for possible motion and discussion.
Move to approve the resolutions introduced by title.
Second.
First by Councilmember Brooks, second by Councilmember Hollinshead. I'd like to speak in favor of it, mostly because probably the same reason Max wants to speak, is that it's nice that we had the option to opt out. That's something that preemption is something that it's high in the mind of most communities on the front range, if not the entire state. And hopefully the state will continue to do opt-out options. Go ahead, Max Brooks.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you for providing a view that will be a little less sarcastic than mine, because I feel so internally grateful that the state provides the remedial paint-by-numbers solutions for us to follow should we choose to do that, but also very grateful that they provide the opportunity to opt out, because we do have the ability, and I believe we have proven over whether it's zoning or whatever it is, that we have the ability and prefer to actually make the decisions here on our own, and somehow we're able to get there. So absolutely in favor of the opt-out, and thank you.
Isn't that what we're already doing with CDOT?
Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingsham?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
And Mayor Gray?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The time is now 7:16. I will set the motion to adjourn the meeting.
Yes, sir.
Second.
I have a first by Councilmember Brooks, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Cavey. Sorry?
No Marlo?
No Marlo tonight.
But he's on it big time.
That's why we're done here.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion.
Thanks, everybody.
Passes.
Have a great holiday season, or we'll see you back here in 2 weeks. Take care. Bye bye.
Hey, Nick.
What?
You know,
Robin's got.